Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening once again to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Well, I hope you enjoyed our little sojourn into the events of April 18th and 19th, 1775. Tonight's broadcast is going to be, well, I'm going to ask a question. I'm going to talk about something that nobody else is talking about. Everybody's ignoring it, and it's really upsetting me, because it tells me that once again, the teeter-totter is off-center, and no matter how hard you try to make your end, go up or down, you're being totally controlled by the guy on the other end because you got no leverage. Something's happening that's telling me that this world war crimes tribunal is a scam. It's a scam that's going to be used to get rid of the enemies of the New World Order. And, well, stay tuned. I think you're going to find this broadcast extremely interesting, to say the least. Questions now, folks. I'm going to open the phones, and I hope you'll be able to answer them. And this is going somewhere. Believe me, it is. Who is Slobodan Milosevic? Who is Slobodan Milosevic? What is he famous for? Phones are open. 520-333-4578 is the number. I want you to call in and answer that question. Who is Slobodan Milosevic? And what is he known for? What is he famous for? Who is he, in other words? So if you can answer that question, call right now, 520-333-4578. So, let's go. Come on. You're wasting time. We only have an hour here, and we've got a lot of ground to cover, and this is very important, and your participation is absolutely mandatory. And if there isn't any, I'll just shut down and go to bed. 520-333-4578. Who is Slobodan Milosevic? What's he noted for? And tell me a little bit about it. Must be some people out there who know. If there's nobody out there who knows, then I'm talking to the biggest bunch of idiots on the face of this earth, because the phone's not ringing, which tells me that either you don't know much about him, and you should know an awful lot about him, or you don't know anything about him, or you're scared to call. Let's see what's going on here. Good evening, you're on the air. Hello?
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 Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, yes. He was the elected president of Federal Yugoslavia.
Federal Yugoslavia?
The Yugoslav Federation. He was elected president, and I think he was reelected.
Okay, and what's he noted for besides that?
Well, he's noted for losing wars, but
losing wars?
losing
one war.
Well, several different ones involving the. Well, he presided over the breakup of the larger Yugoslavia at one time, but mostly losing the different campaigns against NATO-backed allies and things like that.
Well, that was one war. That was a war against NATO.
Well, no, there were several different ones. And prior to being president, he was president of the Bank of Yugoslavia.
Yes.
That's about all I know.
That's true. Okay, where is he now?
I believe he's in the Hague prison along with...
Why? Why is he there?
Well, he's there because the people in Yugoslav government going against their constitutional court whisked him away.
Not only their constitutional court, but their own law.
Against their law also.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they gave away their sovereignty in return for what?
Well, supposedly aid and money and things like that.
Yeah, lots of money. Lots of money. Lots of money.
Yeah, to help them rebuild the country that NATO just destroyed.
Bullshit. It goes in the pockets of the people in power who control the politics of the country. It always has, always will.
Oh, I know that. I know that. I don't believe it's really going to help.
Not one penny will go to help any of those people or to rebuild any churches or homes or anything else.
No, I know that. If anything, the money might even go to help the KLA.
That you may be absolutely correct about that. But basically what it was the bribe. Here, we got all this money. If you'll help us, you know, divide up the Balkans, and if you'll help us create this new world order, and if you'll help us, you know, give up all the sovereignty of all of the different entities in this region so that we can have this new world order and bow down and kiss NATO's butt, we'll give you all this money, but we won't give it to you until you turn over Slobodan Milosevic, because he's your biggest nationalist leader and he's our biggest impediment to this goal.
That's right. That's right. I don't agree with everything he says, but I've been following him since one night long ago. I couldn't sleep. I turned on C-SPAN and I started to see the news feeds coming in from over there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite amazing. I said, holy shit, we're destroying the entire country to support a bunch of Albanian terrorists or whatever.
It's all for globalism.
Oh, I know that. They're just making an example out of him, and then they're going to apply it to other people.
Well, maybe, depending upon who those other people are, and that's the whole aim of tonight's broadcast.
Well, thanks a lot, Bill.
You're a good man, Charlie Brown.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having the guts to call. I know you were nervous when you called, but you had the answers, except for one. You said you fought several wars against NATO. You only fought one war against NATO. NATO, let me tell you something. If you're fighting a war against NATO, whether it's broken up into three or four, with one war, and there's one goal, there's one agenda, and you all ought to understand that. So, you know, that phone call answered most of the questions that we needed to get answered before we could go on to the second part of this program. Has the War Crimes Tribunal ever arrested and tried anyone else? That's question number two. Has the War Crimes Tribunal ever arrested and tried anyone else? Now, I'm not talking about the Nuremberg trials. That was completely separate from everything that's going on today. It's a totally different thing. Set a huge precedent, however. Okay, question number two. Has the War Crimes Tribunal ever arrested or taken into custody or caused to be arrested and tried anyone else for war crimes? Hello? 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 Good evening, you're on the air.
Oh, how you doing? I think the War Crimes Tribunal has tried a couple people.
Who?
Somebody here, so I gotta hang up. I'm sorry, Bill. Thank you.
I knew it. As soon as I said who, I don't think he knew who. And there may have been somebody there, but it was a convenient excuse not to divulge that he didn't know who. 520-333-4578. Has the War Crimes Tribunal ever caused to be arrested, or, you know, tried anybody else for war crimes? Hello, I'm knocking at your door. There's somebody at your door, and it's me. It's me, and I want your attention right now. Call me. Somebody out there must know the answer to this. Has the War Crimes Tribunal ever arrested or caused to be arrested and tried anyone else? Good evening, you're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Yeah.
I believe the War Crimes Tribunal tried Pinochet, the Chilean dictator.
They tried him?
I'm not sure. Wasn't he held by...
He was held in several different countries, but he was never tried by the War Crimes Tribunal.
Okay, I thought I heard some about that.
Nope, he never was tried by the War Crimes Tribunal. He was passed around from country to country, and never tried.
Okay. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Okay. Take care. Bye.
Thanks for trying.
Okay.
520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello? Goodbye. That was a dummy. Airhead chicken plucker. Just what we need. 520-333-4578 is the number. Has the War Crimes Tribunal ever arrested, caused to be arrested, and tried anybody else for war crimes? I'm waiting. Hello? Must be somebody out there who knows. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Dwayne from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Dwayne.
I think this is a unique situation. Even Dan Rather mentioned on the evening news that this is the first time it happened. So, to my recollection, it's the first time that I can recall also.
Absolutely correct. As far as my knowledge is concerned, unless they had a secret trial, this is the first time that anybody has been arrested, caused to be arrested, and tried by the War Crimes Tribunal in The Hague. And so you had the correct answer. Thank you very much.
Thanks again, Bill.
To my knowledge. Now, that does not rule out secret trials, because I'm telling you they happen right here in this country today. When somebody goes into court and they're charged and the judge rules that there can be no spectators in the courtroom, he seals the transcript and puts gag orders on everybody. That's a secret trial, and it happens every day in this country. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. Good evening, Bill. This question of other people being prosecuted and tried, yes, it's happened, because this is a special tribunal for the war crimes in Yugoslavia only. There have been Bosnian, Croatians, Serbs, etc.
If it's happened, who did they try?
The names escape me at the moment, but it has happened. One Croatian fellow, a general, recently sentenced to 20 years. By the same token, there was one fellow, a Yugoslavian, who was pinned for a war crime in a concentration camp. He was misidentified and let go after spending 2 years, of course, in Dutch confines.
Who are you talking about here now?
Well, the names escape me at the moment. If you'd like, I can send you the names on your email.
I know that several people were arrested.
But there have been people who are spending time now.
Yeah, but not tried by the War Crimes Commission.
Oh, yes. Because the tribunal covers the entire Yugoslavian...
But they cover the entire world, my friend.
No, this tribunal only covers Yugoslavia.
No, this is a United Nations War Crimes Tribunal that by treaty covers the world, including people right here in this country.
No, this is the only one that covers Yugoslavia.
Well,
it is
you're wrong about that, because they are considering charging Ariel Sharon with war crimes.
But it's not the one that covers Yugoslavia.
There is only one United Nations War Crimes Tribunal.
And that is for Yugoslavia only.
No. It covers the entire world.
I believe it is, Bill.
No, it's not.
Well, we can stand corrected and see.
Well, that's fine, but I'm fixing to blow you right out of the water here.
No, I'm pretty sure it's only for Yugoslavia.
No, it's not.
The acronym is ICTCY.
If they have set up a separate tribunal as a branch of the International War Crimes Tribunal, simply to handle Yugoslavian cases, then you could be correct about that. But the War Crimes Tribunal is a United Nations entity formed by treaty, and it covers the world.
That's what it may be. I believe I know what you're talking about, the one that the United States didn't want to sign on to.
Yeah, but they have.
Well, I think Clinton, Bush are not going to sign on to that kind of thing.
They don't have to. They did it when they joined the United Nations.
Yeah, perhaps true enough, yes.
They did it when they joined the United Nations.
But anyway, as far as Milosevic, he's the sacrificial lamb for Hugo.
No doubt about that.
Great.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Bill.
Nope, the International War Crimes Tribunal, ladies and gentlemen, covers the world, not just Yugoslavia. It applies to the entire world, the whole world. Now, here's the point of tonight's broadcast. The Israeli Prime Minister, Ariel Sharon, is, without any doubt whatsoever, a war criminal. He has been completely responsible and has personally ordered the massacre of many, many, many people. Many people. He just canceled a visit to Belgium because the Brussels State Prosecutor's Office ruled that he could be indicted for war crimes. Many nations around the world have been trying to get Ariel Sharon indicted for war crimes ever since the formation of the State of Israel. If there ever was a man who was in charge of troops who ordered massacres and atrocities and terrible things be carried out against civilians unarmed, Ariel Sharon has to be one of the biggest barbaric butchers that has ever lived. Nobody is talking about this. Nobody seems to care about it. But a formal complaint, several formal complaints, have been made against Ariel Sharon. And he canceled a visit to Belgium recently so that he could not be arrested and actually tried. Now, why is it that the world is concentrating on Slobodan Milosevic for war crimes and absolutely 100% ignoring the massacres and murders carried out under the direct supervision of Ariel Sharon? This particular charge concerns a 1982 massacre of Palestinians in Lebanon. And in 1983, the Israeli government found that he was culpable and demanded that he resign as defense minister, which he did. Now, that right there, there were a lot of previous acts before that that Ariel Sharon is guilty of. Now, this hasn't got to do anything to do with anti-Israel or anti-Semitic. It's unfair. And it's not right. And I can see the way that this United Nations is going already with this War Crimes Tribunal and the World Court. It's going to be used as a political tool to destroy the enemies of world government under the United Nations. You see, Ariel Sharon, the State of Israel, are pro-world government. All Zionists are. And so they're overlooking him. Nobody's reporting his war crimes. The New York Times, the Washington Post, the Los Angeles Times, the Chicago Tribune, the Orlando Sentinel, the San Francisco Chronicle. None of these newspapers have you heard one word about the war crimes of Ariel Sharon. Not on ABC, not on NBC, not on CBS, not on CNN, not on MSNBC. Why not? It's the next question. Why not? Why isn't anybody talking about this? Why doesn't anybody care? Why is Slobodan Milosevic going to be charged with war crimes? Why is everyone calling Yasser Arafat a war criminal? Which he is. Make no mistake about it. He also has ordered terrorist acts and terrible massacres and bombing of busloads of school children. He is a war criminal. And everybody points to Yasser Arafat, but nobody points to Ariel Sharon, and I'm sick of it. Good evening, you're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. This is Chris from Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Hi, Chris.
In answer to your question, Ariel Sharon and Yasser Arafat and Mikhail Gorbachev don't fit into their plans. If you can prosecute a president of a country, you can go after ordinary citizens.
That's true, but why not prosecute Ariel Sharon? He's the prime minister of Israel.
Well, right now they're playing international politics, and they will use those two individuals to help further along the plans of the UN.
Yep, well, I think you're absolutely correct there. They're just they're pawns that, to keep the Middle East stirred up. So that there's unrest there, we can always have a boogeyman over there. And if need be, we can send our troops to war in the Middle East to take Americans' minds off of what's happening in this country.
Yes, well, I was concerned about...
Plus, we have a president who's an oil man.
Yes. I heard over the weekend about the UN World Court declaring that their edicts will apply to all signatories of the UN Charter.
That's exactly right.
And we here in the United States, President Clinton, Congress, no one stood up and said no.
That's because they already know. When we joined the United Nations, we joined a world government.
Right.
And that's the policy of the United States government, is to slowly but surely transfer sovereignty to that world governing body, and don't pay attention to what they say, pay attention to what they do.
Okay.
So that's what really matters. I mean, how come nobody could predict that the price of fuel would go higher than it's ever been in this country once an oil man got in the White House? How come nobody knew that but me?
Well, they probably knew. They didn't want to say.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
520-333-4578 is the number. I want everybody to start writing letters to their newspapers and calling talk shows and calling CNN and asking them, how come Ariel Sharon, one of the biggest war criminals that's ever lived, is getting off scot-free, and they're going to hang Slobodan Milosevic simply for trying to keep his country together? Good evening, you're on the air.
Hello. According to the New York Times, three Serbs were convicted by the War Crimes Tribunal in The Hague, February 22nd.
Okay.
And their names are, I don't think I can pronounce them well, but...
Well, do your best.
Dragojub Karnacek, age 40, former commander.
He was a general, yeah.
And these were for rapes and sexual violence.
Uh-huh.
And Radomir Kavak, 39. And Zoravan Vuk, age 39 also.
Okay, when did these trials take place? Because I know that two of those were arrested, but I had not been aware that they had been tried.
It says this is first international judgment to condemn sexual slavery in The Hague, February 22nd.
Okay.
This is from New York Times, February 23rd, 2001.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for all your hard work. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you very much. Five two zero three 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 four five seven. What I was, and you can call. Feel free to call at any time. What I was saying was, I want you all to start calling CNN, all the radio talk shows, write letters to all the letters to the editor of all the newspapers, and write letters to NBC and CNN and see, because sending email, they don't pay attention to that usually. Write letters, because they have to answer letters. And they pay attention to letters, because that's a written record. And you might just get things stirred up, and they might, you know, start commenting on this, which needs to be done. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello?
Yeah, Bill?
Yeah?
Two nuns were convicted from the Rwanda massacre, along with a professor and a businessman. And this was just, oh, gosh, I took my satellite down about a month ago.
They were convicted by the War Crimes Tribunal?
Mm-hmm.
So where?
Oh, wait, yeah, that would be war crime in Rwanda, yeah.
Yeah, but you sure it was the War Crimes Tribunal in The Hague?
Well, it was there in The Hague, whatever.
Okay.
But, you know, we're missing another one. The up-and-coming one is this guy, Putin. You know, right now, it's been going on since way before, right since Christmas. They're annihilating all the male Chechens.
Yes, I know.
And they're doing it very, very brutally.
Yes. How come I'm missing all of these war crimes trials? I know that people are arrested, but I have yet to read about any of the trials.
Oh, it's not going to be in the papers.
Well, I've even searched the Internet, and I can't find anything. I mean, I've been very interested in this World Court and the War Crimes Tribunal, and it's difficult to find anything. Occasionally, you will hear about somebody being arrested, but the trials are like there's a brick blank wall there somewhere.
Well,
and I don't get the New York Times.
Satellite. I get mine off satellite.
Do you? Well, I don't watch much TV either.
Well, I do for the news, because it's really funny, because the things I see there you never see here, and vice versa.
Off a satellite? What satellite?
Off of pass 5, 10 AMSAT, pass 5, it's at 58 degrees west.
What's on there? I mean, what news channel are you watching?
Deutsche Welle, BBC, Radio TV, stuff I see out of Portugal.
You know, you will find better reporting and better news on foreign stations. And I used to listen to all the foreign stations on shortwave, but I don't even have time for that anymore.
But what's funny is on Portuguese TV, and this is, you can get this on the web now. They're at WW Jump TV.
Uh-huh.
Portuguese, Korean, a bunch of Asian things. They do a vast coverage of Africa that none of the other stations do.
Oh, I go straight to Africa. Look for that stuff. I go straight to the African papers. They're on the Internet. And I'll tell you what, though. It's like reading newspapers written by fourth graders. I'm not trying to insult their intelligence or anything. They're intelligent, and the stories are intelligent. But they have no grasp, it seems, of language. It's like writing. It's like really reading newspapers written by fourth graders.
But is that because English is their second and third language, perhaps?
I don't know why it is. They're writing the papers in English. That tells me they should be hiring people who know how to write in English. But apparently they're not.
Well, some are good. There's some what's that place with all the oil where all the trouble is?
Sudan?
No, down there, not Nigeria.
You sure it's not Sudan? That's where the problem...
No, Sudan doesn't have any oil, do they?
Yeah, that's where they're having the massacre.
That's where the slavery is. That's where they still deal with slavery.
Yeah, they're massacring Christians, and China's gone in there, and they've discovered huge oil fields.
Maybe it is Nigeria. They're down at the tip of that, at the bottom of Africa.
South Africa?
No, down further.
Botswana?
Down further.
There's nothing farther than South Africa. That is as far as you can get.
I respectfully disagree with you, dear.
South Africa's the Cape of Good Hope. That's as far south as you could get in Africa.
It is?
Yes.
Okay. Well, this must be Nigeria. It must be Lagos, Nigeria, then.
Okay. Wherever.
But they had some real good reporters there, but a lot of them ended up dead.
That doesn't surprise me at all, because politics in Africa is quite often practiced with...
It's terrible.
They don't like you. You know, you might wake up in the middle of the night and find, you know, 3 foot of cold steel between your neck and your head and your shoulders.
Oh, surely. Well, that's the white farmers fund that out in Rhodesia.
Well, they found that all over the place.
But you know that guy that organized the henchmen there for Mugabe? They call him Hitler. He died here about a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, but you know what? Anybody who remained in Africa after colonialism ended and the European governments pulled out of Africa should have known that sooner or later there would be a surge of black nationalism and their lives would be forfeit.
Oh, you bet. But, you know, they also went after the blacks that worked for the whites.
Yes, they did. They sure did.
And they just went in and grabbed them if they were even suspected of being sympathetic to the white cause or what have you.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah, it is. It is terrible, but it's reality. If you live in Africa, you've got to deal with that reality.
Okay.
Sooner or later, you might wake up dead. That's the reality.
It's a shame. It's a beautiful country, but they've ruined it.
Well, I like to think that eventually things will stabilize, you know, all over the place when people realize how stupid they are.
But, you know, we helped them because we helped with it. The United States and Britain ruined it because Britain went after Rhodesia, and then we did our thing with South Africa. And they're not any better off today than they were back in the days of apartheid, except for maybe personal liberties.
No, they're not. In many ways, and this is not an attempt to justify racism or apartheid, but in many ways they are about three times worse than they ever thought of being.
And look at all the SOBs we put in power. This guy that just died.
And the crime is unbelievable.
In the Congo. What's the name? Shambe? No, the Mobutu. Mobutu.
Yeah.
I mean, he stole billions of dollars. And this country is dirt poor. The people have nothing.
Yeah, well, that's what despots do.
Okay, I'll let you go.
Thanks for calling.
You bet.
Yeah. It's a shame that people don't understand what they're doing. They get stirred up into action by people they don't know, that have agendas that they don't understand, and they end up really bad off in the end. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hi, Bill.
Hi.
The gentleman was wrong about the Rwandans who were convicted. They were actually convicted in a Belgian court because of Belgium has somehow decided that they're going to try people for crimes in their former colonies. It didn't exactly happen in The Hague.
Well, how can they do that, charge people for crimes in their former colonies where they have no jurisdiction?
I'm not sure exactly how they've done it, but they've done it very similar to how the United States is trying, for example, the people who bombed the Al-Khobar Towers and who, bombed the embassies in Africa. I mean, it's bizarre. I can't believe that nobody's asking any questions.
Well, they should be. It's the same as how did they try Timothy McVeigh when they had no jurisdiction, and how did they hold a trial in Colorado? Colorado. How did they hold the trial in Colorado when the Constitution says the trial must be held in the same state where the crime occurs?
Exactly, because you're absolutely correct that this is no longer the nation that we were born into.
Yeah.
I was going to say, too, on the laundry list of amazing ignorance in terms of looking at war criminals, it's astounding the number of East German officials, very high, who were responsible for the shootings of people trying to flee East Germany, all the shootings that happened at the wall. None of the soldiers that did the shooting or any of the officer corps who ordered those were tried. The vast majority of the judges who were sitting in the, communist court system before the wall came down, almost all of those judges are still sitting.
Sure.
It's absolutely astounding. And when you figure that you have ferreted out, I can't say that I've confirmed, but that you have ferreted out that there was East German, former East German citizens involved with the Oklahoma City bombing.
Not just East German citizen, but an intelligence operative. And you have to know Germany, that you have to know that the German intelligence organization, ever since the end of World War II, has been under complete control and supervision of the Central Intelligence Agency.
The West German?
The West German, yes.
Yeah.
And now East German is also West German. They're one German.
Right. And of course, all of the officer corps of the German army has access to NATO facilities, I assume.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy. Do you know the legal artifice that's being employed to justify these trials of, for example, the American embassy in Africa?
There is. I have no idea how they do it. They absolutely can't do it according to our law. We have no jurisdiction over those people, or to try those people, or to arrest them, or to bring them here, or anything. They
right.
have to be tried in their own country, or wherever this crime took place.
Right.
There is no jurisdiction. It's like, why do we have an FBI office in Moscow? The Federal Bureau of Investigation is an internal investigative agency of the Department of Justice.
Right.
And according to their own charter, and according to the Constitution, where they have no legality as an agency of government, they really only have authority within the Federal District of Columbia.
Right. What do you think, Bill, should have been done? You know, given the amount of international commerce and international crime, what agency of our government should have been tasked with, if necessary, having offices to do investigative work abroad?
There's only one, the Central Intelligence Agency. That's their charter.
Right.
See, and they're only authorized to do investigations outside the country.
Right.
Except for a little-known executive order written by Ronald Reagan.
Yep.
That gave them the authority to conduct their operations in the United States and to use money from other agencies to hide their clandestine activities.
Right. Do you know what the present status is? I saw a headline that said that the Saudis were asserting their right to try the El Kobar bombers if they were brought, you know, if they were apprehended. They've, like, handed down the indictments in absentia and...
The place where the crime occurred is the only country that has jurisdiction to try the criminals.
Right.
Period.
But we know that, for example, in the World Trade Center bombing,
it's like you rob a Japanese bank in Chicago, and Japan sends over people and they arrest you and take you to Tokyo and try you.
Exactly.
They can't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, nowadays, with all this stuff going on, maybe they can do it. But they can only do it because Americans are so damn stupid, they don't say anything about it. They have their heads so far up their ass, they haven't seen fresh air in 50 years, probably.
It is astounding. What I find fascinating is that we know that a Saudi general was working undercover, or maybe it was an Egyptian general, was working undercover with the people who allegedly bombed the World Trade Center.
Mm-hmm. But wait a minute. You have to go back even farther than that.
Okay.
This guy, this blind leader of this group,
right,
who was supposedly in charge, this guy was recruited and trained and taught how to do all these things by the Central Intelligence Agency, and him and his whole group were brought to the United States by the CIA.
Oh, and he's now sitting in prison, allegedly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not only that, but during the trials, I mean, did you see or hear the tapes that this one of these guys recorded of his FBI handler?
Yeah, it was absolutely incredible.
And you know,
it was printed in the New York Times too.
It was printed in the New York Times.
Incredible.
He was trying to make sure that no bomb exploded, nobody got hurt, and the FBI it made them use real explosives and made them detonate it.
Yeah. Well, suffice it to say that we, you know, there is a moral imperative to follow the law as it's duly constituted. And now they are running so fast and loose with the law that they are undoing the social contract and they're
giving us all the justification in the world to rise up, to restore a constitutional Republican government, arrest their sorry butts, try them, convict them under the real law, as traitors, and hang them.
Absolutely.
In a public execution in Times Square at high noon.
And I have to believe that there are members of the junior officer corps of the United States military, people in the State Department who are not at the top, people in the FBI who are not at the top, who must be watching this and are absolutely astounded. And they're, the level of cowardice is it's sad.
Yeah.
Very sad.
Yeah. Because they know what's going on.
Absolutely.
And they haven't got the guts to say a word.
Absolutely.
Haven't got the guts to stand up. Haven't got the guts to publicly resign and state their reasons for resigning and come over to our side. They haven't got the guts.
Well, hopefully they'll make the right decision down the line.
I doubt if they will because, I might lose my retirement check. I don't care about the country. Country can go to hell. I just want my little retirement check.
It is sick. All right, Bill.
Thanks for
coming. Have a good evening.
You too. 520-333-4578 is the number. Boy, that was a good call. He's right on everything he said. Absolutely right on. Oh, boy. I got to tell you. You know, so many people are so stupid today that I don't even like talking to them anymore. Some guy called me today from the Aquarian Research Society and wanted me to send him a free copy of Oklahoma City Day One so he could review it. I said, if you want a copy, you'll have to pay for it. Oh, he got mad. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening. The present situation with the international court situation is something that's taken many, many, many years to come to the place where it's at,
mm-hmm.
with each administration and the ineffective Congress since before the 40s. Since there is no rebuttal to it, it is looked at by the international community as an acceptance.
There can't be a rebuttal. Once we became a signatory to the United Nations Charter, we joined a world government. And whatever is decided by that body, we are a party to, whether we want to be or not.
That's correct.
We don't have to sign anything or join anything. If the United Nations General Assembly passes something as a law for the world, we're subject to that law like every other nation.
You don't think that the chief executive officer's signing of that endorse gives that endorsement?
He's already signed it. When we joined the United Nations, became a party to the United Nations Charter, signed the United Nations Charter, and signed the UN Participation Act, we're a member of world government. That was the foundation of world government. Now, over the years, all they have to do is convince all the nations of the world and slowly but surely take their sovereignty away.
They've done that.
And then establish the precedent that the United Nations World Court has jurisdiction over all people in all countries, and then establish a tax, which is coming, that's paid by all nations to the United Nations. Not dues, but a tax.
Yes. And another issue that's going to come up is just not war crimes. There will be crimes against the environment. There will be the international infringement of whatever firearms they've concocted together on their international small arms issues.
Yep, they will eventually outlaw all firearms except limited amounts of firearms belonging to armies and police organizations for the maintaining of internal order only, and a multinational United Nations so-called peacekeeping force, which will be used like NATO was used to destroy the sovereignty of countries like Yugoslavia.
Right. Now, I know that Funderburk at one time had challenged, when Clinton was executive, he directly challenged the basis of how we could be involved under the UN, and then they jumped it over to a NATO operation and somehow circumvented the challenge on that.
Well, the truth is, we are involved.
Oh, yeah. Did you ever hear whether Schwarzkopf was brought before?
And I don't care whether they call it, they may have called it NATO, but you have to understand, see, they didn't duck anything. They just depended upon the ignorance of the people of the world. NATO was formed under the United Nations Charter.
Did you know that?
Yes and no. There's so
well, it's the truth. NATO, was, look it up if you don't believe it. Go to the NATO website and read their charter. Now, here's another good one for you. Supposedly, during the Cold War, NATO was squared off against the Warsaw Pact.
There you go.
Guess what? The Warsaw Pact was also formed under the auspices of the United Nations Charter.
Well,
so here you got two military forces, both formed under the auspices of the United Nations Charter, pulling off one of the biggest scams in history, pretending that they were going to go to war with each other, and there was no way that was ever going to happen.
The hardship of it, of examining these documents is because of the sizable, you're looking at 800 pages plus in some cases to go through to get...
That's just an excuse. If I can do it, so can you.
Well, I'm not saying it as an excuse. I'm just saying
it is an excuse.
Example.
I'm telling you it's an excuse. It's not an example. If you want to know what's going on, you have to read them.
You're right.
So, you
know...
It
takes a lot of work.
Anything worthwhile takes work.
You're exactly right. You have a good evening, sir.
You too. Thanks for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. Gee. 520-333-4578 is the number. Are you going to write and call and talk about this Ariel Sharon thing? You need to. Now, don't get me wrong, folks. I don't want to see Ariel Sharon tried by the United Nations War Crimes Tribunal or the United Nations World Court or Slobodan Milosevic or anybody else. I don't believe they have any jurisdiction. I wouldn't give them jurisdiction over me. And for them to take me out of my country to try me in some foreign court under the United Nations, it would be over my dead body, and they'd have to try me dead in absentia 6 feet under, because that's the only way they'd get me. So that's not what this is about. What it's about is why. Why is this thing happening? Why is it so unfair? And why is nobody talking about any of these other war criminals? And why is nobody interested in bringing them to justice? If they're really interested in justice, which I doubt very seriously. Good evening, you're on the air.
How you doing, Mr. Cooper?
Good.
Robert from Tennessee.
Hi, Robert.
You had asked a question about how can there be the FBI office in somewhere like Russia or something like that?
Yeah.
Could it be where we have agencies like the Interpol, and we got the treaties like the Open Skies Treaty?
No.
Would that have a part to play in it?
No, because if you read the FBI charter, their charter is domestic operations only, period. Okay. Outside the borders of the United States, that's Central Intelligence Agency, period.
Uh-huh.
According to their charter.
Right. And what about the Interpol?
Interpol is a private organization.
Okay.
And you know what a private organization is.
Right.
That means it's a corporation. Does business under contract.
Right. And what about the other agency, like the what's the name of about the finance? FinCEN or something like that?
FinCEN?
Right.
It's an unlawful, unconstitutional organization that the government has no power whatsoever granted to it to form and for it to do anything that it's doing.
Right, but which worked with the United Nations, correct?
FinCEN? No. That's a domestic organization.
Oh, okay. That's what I want to know then.
It's what they call a multi-agency task force to snoop into everybody's financial records and try to get you on anything they can get you on.
Right. Okay, that's cool. All right, thanks.
Thanks for calling. Nope, Courtney agreed the FBI charter. You'll see. Domestic operations only. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello? Hey, chicken plucker, wake up. Goodbye. Yeah. I don't know why they waste their time doing that. 520-333-4578. Got time for maybe... two good calls and maybe four or five. By good calls, I don't mean that short calls are not good. I mean where we really get into a conversation that leads somewhere. Good evening, you're on the air. Hello? Another chicken plucker.
Yeah, Bill.
Yes.
I'm not a chicken plucker.
Then why don't you talk when you call?
I'm going to... Look, I'm not a chicken plucker. I can't understand what's happening with the phone. I called three or four times, and it just, like, went off, and then boom, boom, boom. But one of the things you've talked about, Yugoslavia, you know, all night, but...
No, that's not been the subject all night.
Well,
and the only reason I brought it up in the beginning was to make an example of Slobodan Milosevic being
part of the subject.
Excuse me. You know, if you can't talk in a dialogue, then you can't talk. 520-333-4578 is the number, which means I give you a chance to talk, and then when it's my turn to talk, you give me a chance to talk, and when I'm through, you can talk again. But when I'm trying to say something and you absolutely won't let me say it, then you're gone. This is my show. It's not yours. If you want your own show, you know how to get it. Call Alan Weiner at WBCQ and fork out some money, cheapskate. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes. Hello, Bill.
Hello.
Yeah, I got a question for you. How long did it take you to put together the Mystery Babylon series?
About 16 years.
I can believe it. I thought maybe it was going to be longer now. If somebody wants to join your organization, Kaji, is that still active?
No.
It's no longer active?
I didn't say it wasn't active. I said you can't join. There are no memberships available right now.
Do you think there'll ever be memberships in the future open up?
Maybe. And if there is, I'll announce it on the air.
Okay, thank you, and have a good evening.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. Oh, gee, y'all know the rules. I don't know. Why do people do that? You know, if you call this broadcast and you say something, then it's my turn to talk. And then when I get through talking, it's your turn to talk. And that's how we hold conversations. You've heard me hold some real good conversations with intelligent, polite people, no matter what they said, and many times they disagree with me. You don't have to agree with me, but you do have to be polite and be able to converse in a dialogue. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Cooper.
Yes.
I would just like to thank you for putting me on to Uban Coffee.
Oh, good.
it's probably the best coffee for the money I've ever had.
Yeah, isn't it great?
It is.
That's what I drink. And I got to tell you, most of my life I hated coffee. I never drank it, and all through the Air Force even, I didn't drink coffee until I went into the Navy. And if you've been in the Navy, you know what I'm talking about. You work all day, and then you stand watches, it seems like, all night. And so you end up with not getting a whole bunch of sleep. And the more rank you get, the less sleep you get. And so as I went up in rank, the less sleep I got because I was in charge. And then you have drills and battle stations and all kinds of stuff. And so I started drinking coffee just so I wouldn't get court-martialed for falling asleep. And got to where I liked it, but only certain kinds of coffee. There's some coffee that just I can't even stand it. And Uban is the best I found, besides grinding your own beans, which is very expensive.
That's right. But, you know, I don't have it available in my area, but when I do go into Michigan, I'm calling from Canada, but when I do go into Michigan, I do. Pick it up, and I'm telling you, it's...
Yeah, and by the way, that's Uban 100% Colombian.
Yep. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Thanks for calling. That was nice. Nice call. 520-333-4578 is the number. What am I trying to do here? There we go. 520-333-4578 is the number. I think we're going to go out with this one. We still got to... No, we don't. That's it, folks. We're out of time. Sorry about that. So if you were heading to dial your phone, just hold off. I'll see you back here, you know, right in front of your speaker on Monday night. And don't miss that broadcast because it's going to be another good one. Good night, folks. God bless each and every single one of you. Good night, Annie Poon Allison. I love you. Took away.